Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter the one and only, the amazingly talented director of stage, screen, and television, Richard Sabellico, is here. Welcome back to our studio, Richard.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be back.
I know it's always hard for you to find us here in the woods of Exeter, but...
After all these years, you'd think I would be able to find it.
This is Richard's, I think, maybe third appearance on Conducting Conversations over the years, and he and I go back a long time to where, the year was 1993, when we did a national tour of Music Man together, and that's why we're together again tonight, because Music Man is going to open Wednesday at Theater by the Sea, and I have the privilege of being in the production once again as the bass and the quartet, and along with Richard, we have brought to you the star, the supreme being, the man who needs sunglasses to look at. He is the Music Man himself, playing the part of Harold Hill, Jason Ostrowski is here, and Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's nice to have you with us. We're going to find out a little bit about Jason, because everybody knows about Richard, so let's spend some time on you, Jason, playing Harold Hill. Are you new to the theater world?
I am not new. I've been doing theater for... probably about 20 years now or so.
20 years, and you're only 25.
I'm only 25, yes. We'll go with that. It's radio.
Okay.
I've been in the business a while. Actually, this is my second time at Theater by the Sea. I was here 7 years ago and did Cornelius Hackle and Hello, Dolly. So it's great to be back here in Rhode Island. But I've toured, done some Broadway, some television, and now I get to work with you and Richard here, which is a pleasure for me because... I'm enjoying myself.
That's right. Richard, welcome back to the Ocean State. And I know you've been here many times working at several theaters.
First time I worked at Theater by the Sea was 1983.
Wow. 1983. And you were just 20.
I was just 20. Right. Actually, I wasn't far from 20. Yeah. I was not 20, but I wasn't that far. I was 30, actually.
Okay.
And I directed Annie, which I had just closed in on Broadway. And I think it was, I'm almost pretty sure it was the first summer stock production of Annie that had been
released.
Licensed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so a long history of coming to Theater by the Sea, a great venue. If you've never been to the theater, this will be your big chance. Bill Haney has put together another great season. The Beehive just finished up last night, and we open on Wednesday with The Music Man, which plays through July 15th. And when we're done, Beauty and the Beast comes in, and then The Producers, another great season at Theater by the Sea. Check it all out at theaterbythesea.com. Or if you would like tickets, you can call 401-782-8587. Let's get to the show. Music Man has been in rehearsals, and a lot of people don't understand, Richard, the rehearsal schedule for a show like this is only a couple weeks long.
Yeah, it's 12 days. Which is not the least amount of time I have ever had. But it's 12 days, which is pretty typical for most summer stock theaters. In fact, it's absolutely typical for most summer stock theaters. And it really has to do, it's more than just cost. It's about, you know, most shows run 2 or 3 weeks. So it's balancing the show that's running with the show that's rehearsing. And... So 2 weeks, and then there's a couple of days of tech rehearsal, and then you open, and here we're lucky we have 3 previews before the official opening when the press comes.
Right, Friday night.
Friday night. But the whole process here is pretty standard. When I've worked at other places like the Pittsburgh CLO, you only have 6 days rehearsal.
Wow.
And you've got, usually have a star. Actually, I directed The Music Man there with Jeff Goldblum in 6 days, which you can actually see clips of on YouTube under the heading Pittsburgh. It's a movie that Jeff produced and starred in, and the primary gist of it is his performance as Harold Hill in The Music Man.
Wow. That would have been an interesting performance. I'll have to check that out.
Interesting is a good word, yes. But I will say that he's a great guy. I absolutely adored him. It's just, you know, he's eccentric.
Okay. Well, a lot of people in the business are. Now, you are the perfectly calm and even-tempered director that everybody imagines you probably are, but you never get excited about
it. I don't, actually. I very rarely get excited, ever. I can count on one hand the times I've lost my temper in rehearsal, and it usually has to do with somebody who is blatantly not doing their job.
Right.
One time, I lost it with one actress who was in a play I was directing off-Broadway, and it was a difficult play, and she was a difficult actress, and we had a screaming fight right before half hour, and I fired her.
Well, there you go.
And the person, I rehired her before the show started, but that's the worst time. I mean, that was the worst I've ever been, but other than that, it's usually only been at, like, designers.
Yeah.
Who, you know, say they're going to do something or promise something, and it's not what it is, and then they try to shift the blame. I just, you know, I have no use for people who won't accept responsibility for what they do.
There you go. And Jason, as far as your background is concerned, you also worked at Disney for quite a while, right?
I do, and I still do, actually. I'm what's called a seasonal person, so I go down every 6 months, and I do Finding Nemo the musical down there, playing Bruce the shark and Gil the moorfish. It's a great musical written by Bobby Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. You know, Bobby wrote Book of Mormon and Avenue Q, and of course they wrote Frozen. And it's a great show. It's about 37 minutes long. Lots of beautiful puppetry by Michael Curry that designed Lion King. And
okay.
I love doing it. I'm actually going down after Music Man sadly closes when we close to do that for a couple weeks again.
All right, well, let's get some music to put us in the mood. We'll listen to a little piece of the overture and come back and talk some more with Richard and Jason. Have a little taste of the music, and remember, if you want to get tickets, you got to go to theaterbythesea.com to get tickets for The Music Man. And Richard, in your productions over the years, I know you mentioned a couple things that you've worked on, but I know that you've done other shows, and so many of them. What, maybe a couple highlights of some of the things you've done over the years.
Well, the first thing I did for Bill when Bill took over North Shore was he opened it with a production of Gypsy with Vicki Lewis. And Gypsy is my absolute favorite show. It's the first Broadway show I saw as a kid. It's the first Broadway show I was in. And it was the first Broadway show I was an associate director on with Tyne Daly. So I hold it very close to my heart. But I've done, I did a Kicking and Screaming. I did a production of a Marx Brothers musical called The Coconuts.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, turned out to be a huge, huge hit. And then we moved it to Broadway, and it really was terrific. And Michael McGraw, who was just won a Tony 2 years ago, I think, for Nice Work If You Can Get It, he played Groucho. And it was terrific. And I've known Michael. I met Michael the first summer here in 1983 at Theater by the Sea.
Hmm.
Then he and I went that October and did She Loves Me at the other Theater by the Sea, the Equity Theater by the Sea in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I don't think it's Equity now, but it was an Equity Theater then. And and I directed actually 9/11. Over 9/11, I directed Jekyll and Hyde at that other Theater by the Sea in Portsmouth. But other things that I've done, I did a wonderful production of Wonderful Town, Betty Comden and Adolph Green Bernstein musical at the New York State Theater at Lincoln Center. And it was a fabulous production and absolutely amusing. Some scenic techniques I started there, I'm using here at Theater by the Sea, of course, on a much smaller scale.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I've done lots and lots of stuff all over the country, terrific shows. You know, I have a great time directing. I mean, as you know, and as we've spoken about, I was an actor for 20 years. I did a lot of Broadway shows, Annie being one of them, Gypsy being another. But I never have gotten satisfaction as much as I get from directing. And, you know, it's a great a pleasure for me to hopefully be the least talented person in the room. I like taking a back seat to other people's abilities.
You're using my line. A lot of people ask me about my quartet successes, and I always say, well, it's easy. I find three other talented people, and I ride along. But
right.
I don't think, Richard, that you're in that position in, that I've ever seen anyway. I can say this now because rehearsals are all over. I think it's too late to fire you. I think it's too late to fire me. So, you are a very impressive and insightful director.
Thank you.
I don't think that people, when they think of Broadway show directors or movie directors or that kind of thing, I don't think they would picture you, because you have a way of just talking to people, making them feel at ease, and getting the best out of them. And always, for me, every time I've worked with you, it's always like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And I think that's a good thing.
I was gonna say, as a director, it's the first time I worked with Richard. What he's really, really good at, besides all the scenic and the moving the show and all that, is looking at the words and having you as an actor look at the words in a way
right.
you haven't looked at them before, and bringing new stuff out of this text, you know, that sometimes is just glossed over because you gloss over it. But Richard really makes you focus on it. And, you know, we do, like when we're learning the songs, learn them slowly and like really out of meter. And almost very conversational, and it really helps inform you as an actor.
I think it's such a different approach than the, you know, because I've heard people say to me, well, Music Man can be kind of a caricature of how people were, and that's not how we're approaching it all.
No, absolutely not. I mean, one of the reasons Music Man lasts, and other shows like My Fair Lady and Gypsy, Hello, Dolly, it's because a lot of the content of the script, the intention of the author, whether they realized it or not at the time, is still pertinent to the humanity of today. Mm-hmm. And the like, for instance, Hello, Dolly. I mean, not Hello, Dolly. Our show, Music Man, that's it. As we said the first day of rehearsal, it's a show about redemption. And everybody still needs redemption. everybody who sits and watches the show at some point can think, gee, I wish I could meet somebody like that who could bring out the best in me, show me the right way to go, show me how to just let go and be happy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that, and that's why the shows are perennials, because they really touch, get to the heart of the human condition, which everybody, you know, we're all the same. I remember as a kid, one of my first Equity shows was Kiss Me, Kate, which was written 3 years before I was born. And I remember reading one of the scenes between the two leading characters and thinking, my God, these people were having these thoughts and ideas and feeling these things long before I was born, because I was just starting to feel them and understand them and, you know, find my place in the world. And, you know, here people were doing it 3 years before I was born. It's the human condition. They've been doing it for 5,000 years before I was born. And it's what it's that's what you have to touch into. You have to make the audience sort of piggyback on the leading characters of the play so they get their money's worth. So they experience it not as an audience with a narrator, but as a participant with an actor who's fully engaged in the story he's trying to tell or play.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the Harold Hill character, which Jason is playing so well, does Thanks, bring Mark. This out of people. And I think we'll go out of this segment anyway with one of the more famous Harold Hill parts, and that's You Got Trouble.
You Got Trouble.
Right here in River City. And then we'll be back with more of Richard and Jason.
Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a bop-line game, I say that any boo can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled to the screen door patched to the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm gonna be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They were trying out Bevo, trying out Cubats, trying out TaylorMade's like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're gonna cover up a telltale breath with sense. And one fine night, they leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the Armory. Libertine men and scarlet women and ragtime, shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh,
right here in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We've surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school.
Our children.
Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha! And so's your old man. Well, if so, my friends, got trouble.
Oh, we got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here in River City.
With a capital T and that rhymes with P and that stands for pool.
That stands for pool.
We surely got trouble.
We surely got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule.
Our children's children gonna have trouble.
Oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is a devil's tool.
Devil's tool.
Oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble. We got big, big trouble.
With a T.
With a capital T.
Gotta rhyme it with P.
That rhymes with P.
And it stands for pool.
That stands for pool.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with the director and the star of The Music Man, opening this Wednesday at Theater by the Sea. We'll be playing through July 15th. And, Richard, we've talked about some of your past experiences.
No, not all of them.
I'm sure we could do a whole series of shows. That might be an interesting new program on WCRI, where we just have the Sabellico Hour.
I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
There we go. Jason, I know that you mentioned working at Disney and lots of other places, and now you're here, and you have a co-star.
I do. The beautiful Tiffin Borelli. Richard, you've worked with Tiffin before.
Yeah, I did Camelot with Tiffin before.
She's a joy to work with, and I couldn't ask for a better Marion to share the stage with. And getting to sit back and watch her in her scenes and sing her songs is just, her voice is glorious.
Yeah, she's a very measured, very thoughtful actor. She really takes the time to get into something and does not immediately perform, but does the rehearsal. She knows how to rehearse.
I've noticed that about both of you. When you work together and as a little fly on the wall kind of thing, we look at you from a distance, whether you're in a corner or another room, or we follow you down the street to lunch. But there's always that you're thinking, which some people might not say. Well, aren't you just supposed to be directed in what to do? But no, you're deciding and you're conversing and making decisions about.
Well, yeah, it's a living, breathing thing doing a scene. I mean, I was going to say, Tiffin is very present. I mean, you could give a line reading one way and, you know, she's there with you and is going to react realistically in the moment, because it's not just dialogue, it's not just lines, it's not just scene work, it's real people.
Right.
And it's so nice to work with somebody like that.
I've known about doing Music Man for quite a while. Bill Haney came to me and asked me about doing it, and so I've had, you know... I was against it. I figured that, but, you know, I have something on him. So, but do you ever, Jason, do you ever have, you know, are you feeling a little bit like, I wonder how this is going to work? Are we going to have the right chemistry when you come into a new situation like that?
Oh, sure. Sure. You never know. Like, I don't think I read with Tiffin in the callbacks.
No.
I read with other Marians.
Yes.
So yeah, you do wonder, okay. And you know, I've had situations where I've worked with people where the chemistry just isn't there, but you have to find a way as an actor, as that character in their reality, to make that happen, no matter what's being given to you or not given to you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your job to sketch out and fill out those characters for the audience and for yourself.
You know, it's interesting. I just formulated this as you were talking, Jason.
Oh, wow.
We had four gentlemen that were called back for Harold Hill. They were four completely different types, which goes to my philosophy of one is never in competition for anyone else for anything, because everybody's their own person and brings their own individuality to it. And you know, you take Peter and you get a certain quality. You hire Paul, you get a different quality. But it wasn't Jason's acting so much, because any of them could have acted it. It was the essence of who Jason is, that it was just, he did our job for us. It just was, because of who he is, because of how he behaved in the audition process, of what, you know, he let himself be shown. That's what convinced me. I mean, any of them could have said the lines and I could have directed them, but it's the essence that an actor brings to the role that makes it unique and special. And it's someone who can tune into who they are and bring that quality to the character, because that's what separates it. You know, Bette Midler is a star because she found her own individuality and she honed it and she focused it and she developed it, and it's her persona. And even when you go see her in Hello, Dolly, you never lose sight of Bette Midler, but you also see in tandem with that this character she's created called Dolly Gallagher Levi, who is unique unto her. Mm-hmm. And that's how actors work. That's what brings, you know, and that as because it's a collaboration, has to be a collaboration between the director and the lead actors. Of course, the director when all is said and done, has to be the final say. I mean, of course, with nodding towards what the producer has in mind, but usually a good producer doesn't, you know, put their two cents in too often, except when they think they might lose their shirt if a certain thing isn't done. But basically, it's the collaboration between the which brings it to life. Mm-hmm. And it can only come to life if you know how to challenge isn't the right word. You know, how to plug into the essence of each person and then bring quality out.
Right, absolutely.
I'm telling you, I don't want to, you know, it's not this thing to plug Hello, Dolly, but when I heard David Hyde Pierce was playing Harold Hill, I thought to myself, that is the worst thing I have ever heard in my life. I can't think of anybody less suited. I mean, get Kelsey Grammer. He's right for it. Yeah. David Hyde Pierce is brilliant. He completely reinvents Horace Van de Gelder to the point where you can't believe anybody ever played it a different way. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what good actors are. They make it theirs.
All right. Well, we want to make it clear that Bedman will not be with us.
What? Surprise.
But Tiffin will be.
I will be. And you will be too, Mike. I just want to say the rest of the cast is phenomenal. I mean, I'm getting so much from everybody on stage, and you know, it's ultimately helping me in my job. But you guys are all wonderful. Like,
well, I have a tough job to do. I've been singing bass in a barbershop quartet for over 50 years, so I had to get a role where I sang bass. In a barbershop quartet.
You guys sound glorious. I mean, one of my favorite moments in the show are when that quartet sings.
Let's get back to Marion Peru, who is a librarian and the love interest of Harold Hill, and her singing of Good Night, My Someone. We'll listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
I wish they may, wish they might. Now good night, my someone. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Folks, listen. May I have your attention, please? Attention, please. I can deal with the troubled friends with a wave of my hand, this very hand. Please observe me if you will. I'm Professor Harold Hill, and I'm here to organize a River City Boys band. Brrr. Oh, think, my friends, how can any pool table ever hope to compete with a gold trombone? Ra-ra, ra-da-da-da-da-ra-ra. Remember, my friends, what a handful of trumpet players did to the famous, fabled walls of Jericho. Oh, billiard parlor walls come a-tumbling down. Well, a band will do it, my friends. Oh, yes, I said a boys' band. Do you hear me? I said River City gotta have a boys' band, and I mean she needs it today. Well, Professor Harold Hill's on hand. River City's gonna have her boys' band. As sure as the Lord made little green apples, and that band's gonna be in uniform. Johnny, Willie, Teddy, Fred. And you'll see the glitter of crashing cymbals. And you hear the thunder of rolling drums and the shimmer of trumpets. Tom-ta-da! And you'll feel something akin to the electric thrill I once enjoyed when Gilmore, Pat Conway, the great creator, W.C. Handy, and John Philip Sousa all came to town on the very same historic day. 76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones caught the morning sun, with 110 cornets right behind. There were more than 1,000 reeds springing up like weeds. There were horns of every shape and kind. There were copper bottom timpani and horse platoons, thundering, thundering all along the way. Double bell euphoniums and big bassoons, each bassoon having his big fat say. There were 50 mounted cannon in the battery, thundering, thundering louder than before. Clarinets of every size and trumpeters who'd improvise a full octave higher than the score.
"76 Trombones," the iconic song from The Music Man that you just heard, and Music Man will be playing at Theater by the Sea coming up in just a couple days. We, the three of us in this room, have been in rehearsal now for a couple weeks, and it's all going to come to fruition on Wednesday for previews, Thursday for previews, and then the big opening night on Friday night. Theater by the Sea in Matunuck is a beautiful spot. If you've never been there before, check it out. It's a wonderful opportunity to go down, get some fresh air near the ocean, maybe have a little dinner at the bistro, and then watch the show, and then come out during intermission, have some drinks around the gazebo and the beautiful gardens. And, Richard, am I doing a good job for Bill trying to sell a place?
Very, very good, but you are forgetting one point.
What's that?
Well, you know, money is no object to Bill. And he has put into great expense last year air conditioning.
That's correct. Yes. That's correct. That
and
is a big addition.
Until last year, a lot of the audiences would die of the heat. But now you sit in air-conditioned comfort.
That's right. That is a big deal. And we made a big deal out of it last year, and it's still working better than ever. So very comfortable. You have a lot of history there. You heard about Richard's years of going to Theater by the Sea, but some famous people long before Richard were there. I've heard stories of, Orson Welles, I believe, at one point in time.
Tallulah Bankhead.
Marlon
Brando.
There you go.
Lillian Gish. Well, here still knows who Lillian Gish is.
Well, Tallulah Bankhead, here's a little trivia that her radio program had a theme song, and it was "May the Good Lord Bless and Keep You," which was written by Meredith Wilson. See that little trivia
nice
there?
Nice going,
in 1950.
There you go. See, we're trying to
We've
impress Jason
something.
Is what we're trying to do here. But Jason, you know, I have a question for you, because
sure.
Richard can answer this, I'm sure.
I'm sure he can.
But he knows everything, so I want to see if you can answer this. When I grew up, and you watched the Tony Awards or the Oscars, there was an actor and an actress. And now we don't use that term actress as much anymore. When did that change, in your opinion? Your lifetime?
Jeez. Well, yeah, it's definitely been in my lifetime, I guess. I mean...
No, it's been... Of course it's been in his lifetime.
But I don't know. I think it's relatively recent. No? In the last 10 years or so, maybe? Maybe even... Probably
yeah,
last
when they
10
say
years
best
or so.
Female actor or best male actor or best female supporting actor, they don't say actress anymore. Yeah, I don't know when, quite frankly, but it's not been that long.
Yeah.
And most recent thing to do was the MTV Awards actually did just Best Performer or something like that, didn't they? And they put male and female in the same category, and it was kind of a big deal.
I'm not up on the MTV
Very
Awards.
Recent. Oh, I'm not either, but I remember reading that.
And I'm not into best of anything, because, you know, opinions, well, I can't say what opinions are
like. But
you
are the best, Richard.
Everybody has one.
Right.
And so, you know, who's the best actor for you is not the best actor for me.
So do you think that things like, you know, last week was the Tony Awards, and do you think that those should just be maybe these are the people that we thought did a great job and leave it at that?
I think it should be just you make 5 nominations. But then even so, that's still arbitrary.
Yeah.
It's still who makes the, you know, you think, well, considered people with a considered opinion and theatrical, theatrical heritage know how to do it. But they don't speak for the population.
No.
Right.
They, you know, it's in 1776 when John Adams is arguing with John Dickinson about how the country should be run. And John Adams basically says to him, you don't speak for the people. You speak for a precious little few that live in your world. And unfortunately, that's what critics do.
Yep.
They don't speak for the people. They speak for a little precious group of people who understand their erudite comments.
Mm-hmm.
They don't review for the masses. So I'm not big into reviews and best of this and best of that. I mean, it's an art form. The world itself is subjective enough.
We're safe, Jason. So if we
have
a lousy
safe.
Review, we're okay with it.
We're good. We're good.
Once again, it's one person's opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's really what sells a show is word of mouth. I mean, you could get better reviews for a Sideshow when it opened originally, I think, in 1996 or 95. Mm-hmm. I mean, the times went crazy. But the people didn't like it, and there was no word of mouth, and it closed.
Well, I'm sure there's something to be said about a critic. I know that when I did the national tour that you directed, we were in, like, I think 40 cities over the period of months that we were on the road, and every morning the review would come out, and one day it would be, well, this, our Harold Hill is no Robert Preston.
Right.
And then the next day he would be great, and it would be, oh, that Marion the Librarian was no Shirley Jones.
Right.
Now, absolutely. The one thing that they didn't understand was the quartet, which could continue to get great reviews because they couldn't relate to that. They couldn't relate to that kind of music. And so they just said, oh, that was fine. And they would go on with something else. But it was a great example of how people would criticize whatever city you were in, someone different on a different day.
The last show I did in the Broadway area was revival of Dames at Sea. And I played two characters. One was the harried producer of the intended Broadway show. And the second act was the captain of the ship in which... where the show is eventually going to be produced. And I got reviews that absolutely the same performance. One review would say, I was brilliant at both. I made a complete change of character. It was like I was watching a different person. And the other review, the same show, the same night, would say, unfortunately, the one problem with the show is that, you know, Richard Sabellico makes no differentiation between the captain and Hennessy. It was when I read that I thought, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Well, you know, why do we put ourselves through this to look at reviews? You know, I think back in the day, they really did sell tickets. But now with all the kind of marketing and the stars that are being seen and, you know, I don't think it really matters as much.
You can't worry about it, and you can't, like, especially with a role as iconic as Harold Hill. You know, Robert Preston was Harold Hill and is Harold Hill. But you can't. I can't have that in my mind that I need to live up to that. I can only do what I do as Harold Hill and not really worry about, like, if a review comes out and says, well, he's no Robert Preston. That's that, like Richard was saying, that's that one person's opinion.
Right.
I can only worry about taking the audience that's there that night on this journey through the story.
Well, I have a feeling that when the review comes out, it'll be, well, there's a refreshing look at what Robert Preston should have been.
Oh, well.
Well, you got trouble, my friend.
Right here.
Speaking of stars in the show on the Broadway stage in the late 1950s when Music Man came out, there was four guys that I'm very, very close to, and Jason probably hasn't heard the story. Richard probably has, but the night I was born, Jason, my dad, who sang in a barbershop quartet, was brought to the hospital to see me by four guys called the Buffalo Bills.
You're kidding me.
And they became my honorary godfathers. So I grew up with that show and them and knew all of them very, very well. And it's always a treat for me to think back to those days. And so let's listen to a song by the Buffalo Bills. This is the iconic big song, How Can There Be Any Sin in Sincere?
How can there be any sin in sincere? Where is the good in good? Bye in good. Bye. Your apprehensions confuse me, dear. Puzzle and mystify, tell me what can be fair in farewell, dear. While one single star shines any sincere? Aren't we sincerely in love?
Well, that was the Buffalo Bills singing How Can There Be Any Sin in Sincere? You already heard the part that I'm going to be playing the bass of that quartet. Bob O'Connell will be the baritone from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And then the tenor is Jamie Jones from Dighton, Massachusetts. The lead singer, we're actually splitting up. The first 2 weeks will be Joe Connolly, four-time international world champion barbershop quartet singer from San Francisco. He'll be in for a couple weeks, and then he goes on to Vegas performing at Planet Hollywood for a big gig out in Vegas. So replacing him will be the very talented and much younger Chad Putka.
Wow.
And Chad is doing a great job. So first 2 weeks with Joe, second 2 weeks with Chad. And Richard, there's a lot of local talent in this production.
Yeah, it's primarily almost all local talent. Tom Gladow,
right,
who is brilliant as the mayor,
mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely makes me laugh at lines I've been listening to for the last 30 years.
Now, you'll know Tom because he has been in several productions at Theater by the Sea and at Ocean State Theater and at Trinity Rep and at GAM and all over the place. So very, very talented individual.
And then there's the talent-free Maria Day, you know, sort of a charity case I hire every year. And the Pickle Little Ladies are all local ladies.
Now, did you know that Maria's son was named for Tom? Did you know that?
Yeah, she told me that because I didn't really know
Tom.
That's
how close they are.
Right, I didn't really know Tom. And when Bill said I'd like him to play the mayor, you know, I talked to Maria and I asked her. And, I mean, I adore Maria. I always tease her mercilessly. And what better way to do it than on the radio.
Right, so the whole world here.
But, yeah, she told me he was the Yeah, that I think he's also the Godfather.
I probably wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, and then there are some interns from Boston Conservatory, and as I said, the Pickled Little Ladies are all local. I don't know where they're from, so I can't give that information out.
Our wonderful children too,
and our children are local. Well, actually, Winthrop lives an hour away. I don't know where he lives, but it takes him an hour to get to rehearsal.
But he has to walk, so that could be
that could be it. Yeah, that could be it. But and then there's, you know, a lot of the chorus dancers are from New York, as are Marcellus, who was here last year in Buddy. He wasn't Buddy, but he has played Buddy, Michael Puri Jr. And Lorinda, Lorinda, I can't think of her last name. It begins with an L as well, Lorinda's. Anyway, I've worked with her before, and she's this is my first chance to actually give her a fully-fledged job as Mrs. Shin. Lizita. Lorinda Lizita, I believe, is her full name. I could be wrong.
We'll find out. You know, if you go to the show, you look in the program, and it'll
be there. You'll see right there.
It'll be there.
But anyway, there are a great bunch of people, and they're all important. There really isn't a chorus in the show. I mean, there's technically a chorus in the show, but each one of them has to have an individual track, an individual journey, which, you know, I've given everybody their own choices to make up, but, you know, I'm also able to jump in and say, how about if your character does this, and how about your character does this?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes for a fully fleshed out 2.5 hours.
That's right. The show is running. If you'd like to get tickets, you can do so by going to theaterbythesea.com, or you can call our buddy Vinny at 401.
Oh, Vinny.
Hey,
yo,
call Vinny for tickets at 401-782-8587. TKS is the way to remember that. TKS is the last four digits. So call Vinny, get tickets. I will tell you this, that you will probably not be able to see opening night if you don't have your tickets. You will probably not be able to see the night after or the day after that, because I believe those shows are already sold out. But there'll be a couple more weeks to jump in there. But so get your tickets, don't delay. Theater by the Sea. And Richard, I want to thank you for coming in tonight, and
my pleasure,
bringing your wonderful knowledge to our audience. And Jason, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Mike. This has been
great. It's great to work with you, and I look forward to the next 4 weeks of performances. And it's going to be great. We're going to go out with one more song, and this is Marion singing Till There Was You, a nice sentiment to leave on. And we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
You and
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.